Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Welcome to this Monday Postcast. I'm Maddie Plell, joined in the studio once again by James Hill. We've also got Tom Siegel and Sam Harley from Paddy Power on the line as well. First off, lads, we're going to review what was a really good Sunday action, if nothing else. Shergar Cup on Saturday as well, which was very enjoyable with the girls winning, girls power. But we're going to go first off to France and review Alpha Centauri's win in the Prix Jacques Le Marois. First off, Tom, thoughts on her? She blew them away again, didn't she?
Yeah, best horse in training, isn't she, at the moment? This year's enabled, isn't she? She's miles the best. She was just sensational, wasn't she? She had him beat from first furlong, second, every step of the way, she was by far the best. And literally, there's nothing that can touch her at the moment over a mile.
Matron Stakes, Breeders' Cup Mile, is that the way you see her going?
Go where she likes. She can go where she likes. She'll win them all. You know, she's miles too good for them. You know, I have no idea where they plan. I mean, she'll win the Matron Stakes. A little bit boring for me. That against the fillies, I'd go for Ascot. That would be my
the QB2.
Yeah, that's the most important
soft
race for it.
Doesn't matter.
It was softish yesterday. I don't think that's an issue. Okay. I personally think that's the race that European trained horses should be going for, and that's the one that would be top of my priorities. But I get the owners like the Breeders' Cup, so if that's where they want to go, that's where they can go. But wherever she goes, I think the Breeders' Cup is the one she might lose, to be honest.
And why is that?
Because of draws. Mm. Because of draws. It's very, you know, if she gets a good draw and gets luck in running, she can win. But those races, you know, you go back year after year and the form is pretty irrelevant going into it. And the form after it is even less relevant. Do you know what I mean? It just doesn't tend to be a race that, you know, that suits, you know, form watchers' style. You know, you're trying to trick one in sort of thing. If she gets a draw, she'll win. If she doesn't, she might lose.
Okie dokie. Sam, how did Paddy Power react to her success?
So we cut off Centauri from 7-2 into 15-8 for the Breeders' Cup Mile in Churchill Downs on the 2nd of November. Just sort of going down the market, we have Lancaster Bomber at 8-1. We have Rhododendron and Lightning Spirit 10-1, each of both. And we have Without Parole and Yoshida at 12-1.
Okie dokie. Could be an easy task for Alpha Centauri then, Jimmy?
In the Breeders' Cup, yeah. Like Tom said, I mean, if she gets a decent draw, I'd be with Tom. I'd prefer to see her go to Ascot. I think she'd be much more at home at Ascot, a straight mile. Yes, the ground could be softish, but, I mean, she didn't mind Sunday's ground at all, and it was on the soft side there. These turf tracks in the States are very tight, and if you do get a bad draw, you can meet all sorts of trouble in running. Plus, I mean, there's a travelling distance as well. You've got to factor that into the equation. So I prefer to see her run at Ascot. I think she'd be very difficult to beat there.
Mm. I think Colm O'Donoghue rides her particularly well as well. I love seeing him and his confidence he has in her. I think that's always great to see when you have a star like her. Moving on to the Phoenix Stakes, won by Advertise, who looks like he'll go to the Dewhurst next. Have we got any prices on the 2,000 guineas for him, Sam?
We do, yeah. So he's been cut to 10 to 1, sorry. Calix is still at the head of the market at 8-1, and then we have Quarto, Anthony Van Dyke, and Too Darn Hot all at 12-1.
Okie dokie. Now, Tom, I was a bit not that impressed with Advertise. I thought it was quite workmanlike.
Yeah, meh to me too, Maddie. Yeah, I agreed with that. I was a little bit disappointed with him. I have to admit, I thought the race fell apart, didn't it, when Sir Guy didn't run a race at all, and
just
then
pulled too hard, didn't he?
Yeah, so did So Perfect. If you look back, she pulled hard too. I was a little bit disappointed they made the running with the Irish Rover, because I think he's best held up, as we saw at Newbury. I thought they used him as the pacemaker, which a little bit disappointed me, and it sort of set the race up for Advertise. And he did what he did okay, didn't he? Mm. He won a Group One, but he only beat two horses that have been beat more times than they've won by a length, was it? If that, and look, that's not Guinea's winning form to me. Whether that was his best form, I think he looked better at both Ascot and at Newmarket the twice before. So I wouldn't totally rule him out winning a Guinea's. But for me, I would be staggered if there's not something better than him.
And you've spoke about how you think Calix is more a Commonwealth Cup sort of speedster. Does Advertise fit into this same bracket? Because they're keen to go up in trip for the Dewhurst.
No, I think he's going to have a problem, Advertise, because I don't think he'll be quick enough for six furlongs myself. I think he definitely needs seven. Now, I think, look, he might stay a mile. I'm just not sure he's quite as good as some horses that will be racing. You know, look, he's by showcasing. He's going to run. I say this every week, but he'll bump into four Galileos, a couple of Deep Impacts, a couple of Dubawis, and a few Frankels. Mm. And it's a massive long shot before you've even started that he's going to be able to beat them. Mm. You know, it just doesn't happen. You look at the guineas down the line. These sort of not badly bred horses, but sort of cheaper end of the spectacle. There was a great article by Joe Lyons in the paper this weekend saying that he used to think that he could buy pedigrees, but now he realizes that pedigrees run everything in racing. And I agree with that. I think it's very hierarchical. And I think for a showcasing trained by Martin, nothing against Martin Mee, he's a fantastic trainer, but for him to be able to beat John Gosden, you know, Godolphin, Aiden, it's a massive long shot before he's even started. So I'd be surprised if he could win a guineas, and I think he's going to struggle to win over six furlongs. I think there'll be faster horses than him too.
And Sergei Prokofiev, down in trip with him, would you go?
I don't know what you'd do with him. Give up.
Give up.
I mean, that was horrendous, wasn't it? I mean, that was, you know, look, if that would have been any other trainer or any other horse, you'd write him off, wouldn't you? He was last, beaten miles, pulling
too
hard.
I don't know if you've been a bit harsh. Jimmy, what do you reckon? I think he just pulled way too hard.
Yeah, but so did the second horse, So Perfect, and she actually stayed on quite well. I didn't think he ran any race at all. Very disappointing. You give him another chance, but yeah, the jury is out on him now.
Jimmy, you probably agree with me. Do you think very few top class horses run like that ever? Do they? You know, finish tailed off somewhere. It's really hard. I mean, I know.
Mm. Yeah, because one of the things about having a really top class horse is they're consistent.
Correct.
And that was
pretty
desperate.
And they can overcome things, can't they? And he couldn't overcome anything.
And they don't do anything wrong in their races very often, do they? He did so much wrong. I mean, I just thought it was horrible.
Let's give Sam a word in edgeway. Sam, what did you make of advertising Sergei Prokofiev and the rest of them?
Yeah, so just listening to Frank even post-race, he wasn't sort of as enthusiastic as he can be, sort of having ridden a very good horse. He sort of stated clearly that the step up to seven was going to be the key, and probably with the Dewhurst Stakes being the next target. Mm. It sort of collapsed the race once Sergei Prokofiev sort of dropped out tamely, and then Indigo Balance drifted over to the stand side. It just left the three of them sort of battling it out in the middle. I did think he did well to battle, having the two O'Brien Raiders either side of him. I'd probably forgive Sergei Prokofiev the run, just small field. He sort of got left out and was given the chance to run freely, whereas in the Coventry, he was dropped in and came from the back with a late run. People were sort of slating the Ryan Moore ride in the Coventry, but it was probably done on purpose for that reason. I'd still be of the opinion that we haven't really seen a top-class two-year-old yet. And just even with the cloud over at the O'Brien yard, he might be holding off running some of his better-class two-year-olds. And so I'd say leave the guineas market alone for the moment.
Oh, you're harsh on Calix. You're harsh on Calix, Sam.
Well, he's injured now, yeah. So obviously it's going to depend on his
good
return.
Him, isn't he? He's got to be good, him. Whether he's injured, you know, he was good, wasn't he?
He does look good, but... I suppose
he's out
when he's going to reappear is going to be...
Well, whether we see him again at all is the question,
long,
isn't
long
it?
Time, yeah. So until we see him again.
Yeah.
Anyway, any other weekend highlights or eye-catchers? Jim, I'll go to you first this time.
Well, Unforgettable Filly was impressive at Haydock.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. Hugo Palmer's horses do seem to run better at Haydock than anywhere else. I should think he wishes he's running them there every day. She had good form. I think she was, sixth in the 1,000 guineas last season. Mm. But she'd gone off the ball a bit, but she was brilliant there.
Bit of a bizarre race, that, wasn't it? I thought it was a... Maybe
the others just stopped and that they slightly flattered her, but... she just looked like she was cruising all over them the whole way. Mm. Looked in a different class, so they've definitely got to try group contests of her now. A main addition, she got the job done under a penalty. I thought the race worked out for her. She was able to boss it from the front. If you don't go too quick at Newmarket on the July course, that tends to suit front runners. Apart from the runner-up, there didn't really look to be anything that would trouble her beforehand anyway. But, yeah, no, she's in the mix for Group 1 honours later in the autumn. Unforgettable Filly, I thought, was the most impressive.
Okie dokie. Sam, I'll go over to you next. Any highlights or eye-catchers from the weekend?
Yeah, so I tuned into Cork on Saturday, and a filly called Zagatova of Aidan O'Brien's won at sort of short odds on. And the two-year-old maiden there, she won by 4.5 lengths, but she could have won by as far as she wanted. She absolutely counted in. And she's a half-sister to Garswood, which is an interesting line in the pedigree. And I just think she, going forward for next year, she could look value at 25-1 for the 1,000 guineas. So I wouldn't put people off backing her for that. Although she was reported lame post-race, so it's probably uncertain as to when we'll see her next.
Okay.
The debutante Moigler at the end of the season, if she's back to fitness in time for those, could be the way she go.
Interesting nonetheless. Tom, over to you.
Couple, Maddie, I thought that probably a favourite of yours, Dancer Terrier, David Menwizier's horse that won the handicap at Newmarket, was exceptionally impressive. He goes on all ground. I can't, but you know, he's thundering blue in all but colour, basically. I think he's very, very similar to that horse. He'll win group races, has to, without a doubt. He'll probably go up 10 stone, whatever he goes up, but he might rule him out the Cambridgeshire. But I think he's really top class. And the other one would be the filly of Joseph's that won, that beat my old friend Gordon Lord Byron at
Speaking Colours.
Is it a he? I think he's very good. I really do. I think when you get a bit soft grounded, when he was trained by Marco Botti last year, he was super impressive at Doncaster at the back end on soft ground. Been running about on better ground this season. Obviously, he acts on it, but I think he's potentially top class sprinter. He's potentially a top class sprinter over 6 furlongs on soft ground. You know, one of those sort of ascot maybe at the end of the season. He's obviously got a lot to improve, but not so much. I thought he was impressive the other day. So those would be my two, Speaking Colours and Dance Theory. The thing I've got to also mention is the time was so much faster than advertises. Second and a half faster than advertised. So I know they didn't go a great pace in the advertised race, but nonetheless, it's a good few 10 lengths, that is, isn't it, really? And he's a good horse, that. He's definitely a good horse, Speaking Colours.
Okie dokie, well, there's a few to stick in your notebook. Stick with us, and we'll preview some of Saturday's action just after this.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. As promised, we're going to cover the Hungerford Stakes, which is on Saturday. Some interesting contenders in this. Expert Eye, who was second in the Sussex Stakes, and Sir Dancelot, who won the Lennox Stakes with a last gasp win, could well head to Newbury for that Group 2. Sam, have you got any prices at the moment?
Yeah, so we have Expert Eye at the top of the market at 9-4. We have Sir Dancelot 4-1, Gustav Klimt 5-1, Labrisa Breeze 6-1. We've Projection, James Garfield, both at 8-1. And then we've Breton Rock, Dubai, Lamato and Fleet Review, all at 10-1.
Okie dokie, Sam, we'll go to you first. You an Expert Eye fan?
So yeah, it's going to be nothing original for me here. I like Expert Eye. I think he's the obvious choice, dropping back to 7. He ran a blinder behind Lightning Spear in the Sussex Stakes. He just ran with the choke out a bit too much, and he did well to sort of hold on, stay there for second. Sir Dancelot was a good winner of the Lennox Stakes, and was also, he finished 4th in July Cup, so he's quite versatile. But I do think just Expert Eye getting the 3-year-old allowance should see him be good enough for this.
Okay, now Tom, Expert Eye is a bit of a funny horse, isn't he? He's a bit all or nothing, but he was second last time and it was a good run.
Yeah, he's not my type of horse really, Maddie. I'd love to see him at Sprint Trips myself. I think they should give him a crack at 6 furlongs. Look, if he runs, he's the form horse, clearly, but he's not a horse I'd want to get stuck in at a short
Who
price.
Who would you want to get stuck into then, further down?
Well, I think James Garfield is the best is the second best horse in the race, but I can't. I just see these horses are coming back from Group 1 runs, aren't they? And whether the trainers will want to run them in Group 3 so quickly back, Group 2, sorry, the Hungerford Stakes so quickly back, I doubt. I doubt either of them will turn up. Labrisa Breeze is a horse I love, but I'm not sure the rain's going to be around for him. Sir Dancelot, I should presume, will run. He did well to win, didn't he, at Goodwood. I'm quite interested in a horse of William Haggis's, actually, a horse I saw in the flesh at Newbury not long ago, a horse called Mankib, who I think is progressing quite stylishly. Whether he's good enough, I don't know. And I'm also I wonder whether Sir Michael Stout might actually run Dream of Dreams back up at 7 furlongs. Thought he was unlucky not to win.
He's the sort of horse who you think would run here, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's not run over 7 for Sir Michael, but he won over 7 by 5 lengths, did he, last year when trained by... Oh, no, he was trained by Sir Michael then. But before Sir Michael got him, he was basically running over 6 furlongs. Sir Michael got him, he ran... Sorry, I got this completely wrong. He won over a mile, over 7 furlongs at Lingfield. But since then, he's done all his running over 6. I think the step back up to 7 will suit him. And I thought he was unlucky not to win at the track the other day when just behind projection. I think he probably should have won that day. So maybe if he stepped up to 7, I'd be interested in him.
Okay, Jimmy, over to you. Are you an expert eye fan?
Oh, yeah, I'm a big expert eye fan. I'd just be surprised if he runs Mads. I mean, he ran well enough in a Group 1 last time in the Sussex Stakes. Personally, I think he's better than that. And I would think we'll see him in a Group 1 again, probably at a mile. I think you've got to stick with Sir Dancelot. He's a solid horse in this race. He's been in form really for most of the season, and I think 7 furlongs, he's proven that to be his trip now. Labrice, if he runs, would be interesting if there was a big field, because when he gets a fast pace, he's very, very good indeed. And he finishes his races off so strongly. But I think he was a short price favourite for this race last year, and they just didn't go quickly enough for him at all. And in the end, he was outdone by the front runners. So I would prefer to stick with Sir Dancelot. He's coming here in good nick.
Okay. The Darley Pre-Morney is at Deauville on Sunday. Now, our main hope in that looks to be Pretty Pollyanna, Signora Cabello, True Mason, Landforce, some others who could turn up. And we've mentioned, Tom, sort of this season how you've not been very impressed with any of the fillies, but her form's working out well. I mean, Angel's Hideaway won really well in the Princess Margaret, and then, as Jimmy mentioned earlier, Main Edition won the Sweet Solera quite nicely, so she looks solid enough, doesn't she?
Oh no, she's very good. Yeah, oh god, I if I've said that I don't like the two-year-old fillies, it would have been before Pretty Pollyanna ran in the Cherry, whatever it was.
Yep.
I'm so rubbish at names these days. I've got Alzheimer's, I must have. I think she was exceptionally good that day. I know there was a lot of messing around, but you know, the time was good, the form's good, everything about it's worked out really well. If she runs, it will take a really good one to beat her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sam, no betting on this race, but are you a Pretty Polly fan as well? Pretty Pollyanna, sorry.
The one I'd like there, if he goes, would be Landforce. He'd probably be the likely number one string.
Typical, isn't it? Irish Aidan O'Brien connection.
Absolutely. Stick loyal to the home territory. But yeah, I thought he won the Richmond Stakes at Goodwood, quite impressively beating Marie's Diamond, who won the Railway Stakes at the Curragh. So the form adds up there. And just even going back to his run in the Norfolk form's worked out well since as well, with Rumble in the Jungle coming out and winning since. So no, he'd be the one for me.
Okay, Landforce for Sam. Jimmy, who are you siding with?
The one I like is True Mason.
Okay, bit of a left field shot then.
Yeah, I thought that he ran really well. It was in the Papin, wasn't it, last time behind Signora Cabello.
Who also runs, we should note.
Yeah, and she's a real tough filly. I mean, she'll take a lot of beating in her own right. But True Mason, I mean, the stable won this last year, didn't they? And I think the owners won it before as well with Dream Ahead. Good pedigree to win it this year. And he's really improving, coming on leaps and bounds, and seems to handle most conditions, which is helpful.
Okay, now we're just going to take a quick break, but after that we're going to talk about the jumps a little bit more, and I'll also fire some questions at the panel.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to have a brief chat on the jump season so far. Harry Skelton's racing ahead in the Jockeys Championship. Sam, what price is he to topple Richard Johnson?
So, for Harry Skelton, we have him in 10 to 11. We have Richard Johnson 10 to 11. We have Harry Skelton evens, Brian Hughes 13 to 2, and then Sam Tristan Davis and Aidan Coleman, both at 50 to 1. So, not much splitting the two at the top. As you said, Harry Skelton's sort of stormed clear at the start of the season. I think it's 26 winners ahead of Richard Johnson, as things stand. I was actually looking at the strike rate this morning, and he's had a strike rate of 34% so far this season, which is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And just Johnson's had 50 more rides than him, so I think it's interesting how Skelton doesn't ride for any outside stables. I think he sort of took up 2 or 3 outside rides last season. So if anything was to peg him back, it could be that.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but hasn't he got a new agent? Isn't Ian Popham his jockey's agent now, so maybe he's going to try and get him some more outside rides. Could be wrong there.
Yeah, could be useful, just depending on the one stable. If Dan happened to go out of form, it could be detrimental to his title chances.
Yeah, exactly. Tom, what do you envisage happening for the rest of the jump season? Do you think Johnson's always a certainty to claw him back, or do you think there's time for a bit of a changing of the guard already?
I don't think he's a certainty by any minute. When you look at the prices, I'll tell you that he's not a certainty. Personally, I think if Harry Skelton's in with a chance, he'll be riding everything under the sun. So I don't think the fact that he doesn't ride any outside rides now is of at all relevance. I think if he's got a chance of going for the title, I think he'll be him and his agent will be getting him on everything, and everyone will want him to ride as well, because they know what they're going to get. They're going to get a hungry jockey that's fighting for his, you know, for the title. So I don't think the lack of outside rides is going to be an issue. I think the prices are right. I think they're exactly right. I think it's a two-horse race, and I think that if I was slightly to go anywhere, I'd go for Harry Skelton slightly over Johnson, but it's only marginal.
Okay, very interesting. Jimmy, what about you?
Yeah, I wouldn't totally rule out Brian Hughes, actually. I don't necessarily think it's a two-horse race.
New
I
job mean, with Donald McCain now.
Donald McCain, and you're going to get a lot of northern tracks opening up again, seeing the Catterick's, the Carlisle's and the Kelso's. So you'll be getting more meetings up north, and that'll be provide more opportunities for him. Amazing start from Harry Skelton. I mean, 34% strike rate. I think he said as many as 220 rides so far, but only seven of them have been outside his brother's yard. So that's going to need to improve, because if Dan Skelton was to hit a bad patch, then his strike rate would drop right off, unless he started getting some more outside rides. And he didn't get many outside rides last season.
And what about Henderson as champion trainer? Obviously, he's got Altior and Mike Bite and the likes of those really classy horses, Bouvardaire, another one to rely on this season. Sam, what price is he to retain his title?
So Nicky Henderson's 1-8 at the top of the market, with Paul Nichols 5-1, Dan Skelton 25-1, and Colin Tizard 50-1.
Okay, some big prices there. Tom, I'll go to you first. What do you make of sort of Nicky Henderson's stranglehold? Because he had a few sort of quieter years where Nichols was winning everything, and now it's changing around again.
Exactly. Well, it's just about having the good horses, isn't it? Those are the horses. Those are the guys that are going to win the title, isn't it? It's all on prize money. So Henderson's obviously got a massive chance. I think, you know, I can't see Nichols having as many good horses. I mean, obviously he's going to win. He's going to have more winners than Henderson, but whether he can win it, I don't see Colin Tizard having the strength. I think the dangers are from Ireland. If ever Willie Mullins or Gordon Elliott decide to come for properly for the big handicaps before Cheltenham, I think they would be dangerous. I really do. I mean, they were quite a bit behind last year.
Well, despite, Willie tried to do it, didn't he, a couple of years ago?
A couple of years ago, he was right in there, wasn't he? And if, you know, if he could, I can't, you know, if he was to win the Gold Cup and the Champion Hurdle and all those races, then maybe he'd try again. So for me, Henderson will win it, as the prices suggest. Not saying anything new there. If there was a danger, it might actually come from Ireland.
Okay, Jimmy, are you in agreement?
I think it's quite tough for either of the Irish trainers to win it. I mean, Willie Mullins was winning absolutely everything when he came so close, and he still couldn't quite manage it. So he'd sent plenty of runners over to Britain that season. So I do think it's very difficult.
He only just lost, didn't he? If he only just lost one year, surely he can do it again,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
All it needs is for Bouvardaire to get injured, and then things all change, and that changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it changes everything. But poor Nichols didn't really have any stars that season, did he, Tom? It was only really the Scottish National winner, Vicenni, that won it for him.
He's got even less now, though, isn't
he? Yeah, no, I think poor Nichols, that its odds are a bit short, really. I wouldn't fancy him. The only thing I would say, I mean, Nicky Henderson's, I think, almost certain to win it, but if we got a very wet autumn, Henderson's horses tend to prefer better ground. You know, he might not run that many, and his strike rate might drop off a bit in November, December, when he usually has so many winners, if it was very soft or heavy then. Someone like Colin Tizard wouldn't rule him out. So, you know, I think 50-1's a bit big about him.
Yeah, I did think that. He's still going up the ladder, isn't he?
And getting more and more runners, more and more winners. Yeah. He didn't have a particularly good season last term, but I mean, he was still in the hunt for second going to Aintree. Yeah. So He's got a good, talented young team there.
Yeah, and who knows if the love of my life, Thistlecrat, returns. Who knows what will happen. Moving on now, I've got a few questions to ask. First off, Daniel Gormally says, what do you think is the most important thing when analysing a race? Video form, normal form, or speed figures, or something else like info or stats? Tell you what, I'll go to Sam first on this one. I know it's plunging you in the deep end a little bit, Sam, but what's your main sort of tactic?
So I suppose just sort of looking beyond the obvious would be a big thing for me, especially when you're looking for sort of bigger prices down the line when a horse is reappearing. Just even having a look at things like pedigree and looking at what type of ground a horse might want. So if they were appearing on ground that was unsuitable, whether sort of looking at the pedigree you think the horse might want a bit further in time or dropping back and trip in time. I suppose then another thing would be to eye catchers, so horses that didn't look to get the run of the race. If a race was run to suit different races, say there was a pacemaker and a horse wasn't suited to the fast pace of the race, they would be the sort of things I'd be looking into. Also just sort of how a horse is going to be campaigned throughout a year. Mm-hmm. So just even with a camp such as Aidan O'Brien, so often on their reappearance runs, that's not going to be the big day for them. They'd be looking at Group 1 targets down the line. So just taking sort of potential fitness into account would also be a big thing.
Okie dokie. Tom, now, if I could give you one thing that you could use as an analysis tool, what would you pick? I'm pretty convinced I know what you're going to say, but what do you think is the most important thing?
Your eyes. Your eyes, you just got to keep watching. I mean, that's look, it's all about temperament, Maddie. On like everything's about temperament, you know, in the whole world, you know, not just horse racing, but we all have our things that suit us, that suit our style of looking at things. Now, for me, there's millions of ways we can look at racing and dissect racing, and my way is not going to be the same as, was it Daniel's way or whoever answered the question there. We're all going to have different things that we like to see when we're looking at races. Not one is better than the other, in my opinion. But we've got to do it the way that suits our temperament. Because if we start doing it differently, it hurts. It hurts when you get it wrong, and the highs aren't as good as when you get it right. So for me, it's all about finding a way, whatever way it is. I'm not going to say one's better than the other. I know guys that sit there doing speed figures until they're, you know, blue in the face and say you can't do it any other way. I know guys who watch every race possible, you know, from start to finish and right down, have tracker horses, you know, there. I know guys that are complete slaves to the form book. All good ways. I'm not going to decry any of them. But if it doesn't suit you one of those ways, then it's no good. So for me, it's all about fitting in with your temperament. Whatever you think works for you, and you will work that out because you'll start losing. You know what I mean? As soon as you start betting and you start losing, you'll know that that way is not good for you. But if you find a way that works, that you're happy with, you might lose a bit.
Maybe it's quite an instinctive thing, isn't it?
That's what I think. You've got to find the way. And now there's hundreds of ways, as I say.
So philosophical.
but it's true, isn't it? It's true, isn't it? Because it's your temperament that's the thing. You've got to enjoy it at the end of it. There's no point slaving over it and finding it no fun. The key to enjoying it and the key to winning is to make yourself enjoy it while you're doing it. And the only way to do that is to find something that suits you. And that's the way I've always felt. I think that people, we all sit there and say, this way's good, this way's good, this way's good, this is the best. This is not necessarily the case for everyone. It might be right for you, but it might not be right for someone else. So all I think is you've got to find something that you're happy with. And we all know the ways you can do it. You can look at jockeys, trainers, stats, or whatever. Find the one that suits you best and stick with it.
Okay, Jimmy, what do you reckon? If I had to say to you, what's your main go-to thing of analysing a race?
Well, I think Tom's right. I think I always try to take a viewpoint on a race, like where's the pace going to come from, or where might the best ground be, or would it be better up to be the far rail or the stands rail. I always just try and take a view on a race. I never think it's as simple as this horse is just the best horse on the day, and you know he'll beat the others easily. Particularly with handicaps, they're all meant to be on a similar sort of standard. So you've just got to take a view, feel if that works best for you, and just run with it. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But you know, if it does work for you, you're on a hot run and you can win loads of money. So.
Okay, Alex Bellew asks, hi, looking ahead now, the ground is turning a bit softer. Do any of the panel have any horses there? Looking forward to seeing with some juice in the ground. Give you a few sort of seconds to have a quick think. Jimmy, any horses that you think need soft ground that could be particularly interesting come the autumn?
Well, Labrisa Breeze is always a horse I think of who, you know, you get a fast run race on soft ground, who would be one that would take my eye. And Roaring Lion's a horse I've been looking forward to. Not necessarily for soft ground, but a horse that will come right in the autumn. Mm. Horses that, you know, just have got form of a bit of cut at that time of year are the ones on my shortlist.
Okie dokie, Tom?
Few, Maddie Cracksman, obviously. Boring, but Cracksman, looking forward to seeing him back on soft ground. Ben Battle. I think he could leave all his leave that Queen Anne 4 miles behind.
Well, he won the race in Germany, didn't
exactly,
he? Group one, yeah.
Exactly. Horse that won the Lincoln, Adayeb, William Haggis's horse, I thought was really impressive, you know, getting him back on a bit of soft ground. I think LR Cam is another one that I think will like soft ground. A little bit disappointed with him at Haydock the other day, but I think he can back bounce on soft ground. Loads of them. Yeah, okay. Those would be four off the top of my head.
Okay, a few more questions to ask, so let's try and rattle through them. But Sam, over to you, any soft ground horses?
Yeah, so the obvious one there was Cracksman. They pulled him out of the King George the other day because of the ground, and they're sort of already doubting whether he'll go to the Judmont International unless there's a lot of rain between now and then. One for me that's going to reappear this Wednesday is a horse called Study of Man. Mm. He's running in the Group 2 over a mile and two at Deauville. He's been given a sort of around a 10-week break between winning the French Derby, which the form's worked out really well from. And he's going to take on this Group 2 on Wednesday, on way to the Irish Champion Stakes in September. So he could be one to watch.
Okie dokie.
Maddie, can I throw in one more just quickly? I think she's really, really good. John Gosden's
family
sister.
Family had another winner the other day, didn't they?
Correct, too darn hot. Yeah, I think she's potentially a, you know, that Fillies and Mares Stakes or an Arc Filly myself, Lati Dar back on soft ground.
Okie dokie. Sean Griffin asks, do they hold an opinion on the music nights? There are pros in it that attract thousands of the next generation to racecourses. However, most of them don't watch the racing and typically the cards are below average. Even HQ had 3 four-winner races on a Friday night recently. Jimmy, music nights, for or against?
I think you've got to be for because, you know, they bring in so much money to the racecourses. And they are good fun to be at. I've been to one or two. I don't have any problems.
Boyzone, was it, Jimmy? You can see Boyzone?
No, I think it was some Beatles tribute act or something, Tom. Nothing like as exciting. Girls Aloud or anything like that. No, no. Luckily, I didn't go and see the Tom Jones one. Yeah. York.
Nor did anyone else.
No. There were some good jokes around about that one. Yeah. Tom, music nights.
Look, we live in a... God, I'm turning into some kind of political type chap. We live society. We've got to make money, haven't we? That's what the point of it. These courses have got to make money. And if they don't get bands in, no one's going to go. Literally, no one goes to the races on it. Would go... Or, well, some do, but not as many as could. Well, they get 25,000 through for a Newmarket night or a Sandown night. And it would be 3,000 or 4,000 if the band wasn't playing, was it? So... Mm. You know, these courses have got to make money, otherwise they can't exist. So I don't see any issue with them. I mean, obviously, if you're a Newmarket member or a Sandown member or a York member or whatever it is, turning up to watch the races and find, you know, 20,000 screaming 18-year-olds, you know, is probably not your cup of tea, but you don't have to go.
No, that's not true.
You don't have
to go.
Watch it on the telly.
Sam, have you ever been to any music nights?
Yeah, so my personal experience with them have been good. I went to the Goodwood 3 Friday nights last year before the night before the Epsom Derby. And I thought it was really well coordinated. I think that's the key to it, is having enough security and just making sure it doesn't get out of order. I think, again, it's trying to get a transition from generation to generation, just trying to find initiatives that work. So
who was playing, Sammy? Who was playing?
Tiny Tempa, who had disappeared off the face of the earth, and then sort of this is his reintroduction into life. But yeah, I think these series, so another one would be the Leopardstown Bulmer series, which runs throughout the summer on a Thursday evening. I think they work well. It's just about attracting sort of working professionals during weekdays to come out and have an enjoyable evening after work. I know another initiative they're looking at is this street racing. So having racing down the Champs-Élysées or whatever street it may be. I think if that was conducted well, it could be another nice way to...
I would love that, but I find it hard to believe it's not some sort of April Fool's joke. Really? Can they do that?
I think they seem to be able to do anything these days.
I tell you what, I don't fancy that much. Imagine if a horse got hurt doing that with the end of racing, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Can't happen that.
Anyway, sticking with the music theme and our final question, it's directed at Tom, but I'm going to ask you all anyway. Jordan Yates asks, what's Tom Siegel's favourite Meatloaf song?
Meatloafs. I've eaten plenty of meatloaf, but I can't think of a Actually, I haven't recently, funnily enough. Meatloaf. What? Bat out of hell.
Why meatloaf?
Meatloaf? Does he think I look like meatloaf? I have been referred to meatloaf and Gerard Depardieu in my time. Meatloaf. I can't think of any songs. What's his name?
I don't even know. What's his name?
The bloke who wrote it in. Jordan Yates. Two out of three ain't bad. There we are. I've just looked it up on Google. Mr. Google's helped me out. Bat out of L, two out of three ain't bad. And I can't think of any others.
So, but are you a big Meatloaf fan? A casual listener?
No, I am not a Meatloaf fan at all in any shape or form
whatsoever.
What music
do you like then?
I like sort of stuff like Eminem.
Really?
Yeah, Eminem and Macklemore are my stuff.
News. We need to get Jack McCarron on a new
rematch. I can just imagine like Tom and his like dark glasses and cap back to front rapping away.
That's it. That's it. You got me.
We need to get you on this. Jimmy, Meatloaf fan or something else?
Not Meatloaf, no. I'm a big Elvis fan, Mads, actually. Elvis, Van Morrison,
Elvis.
That's my sort of music,
Classy. And Sam, come on, younger generation. We gotta show them how it's done somehow. What music are you into?
We're never going to have heard of any of these people, Maddie.
I'm fairly music deaf, to be honest. Anything that's sort of catchy and I can sing along to, whatever. But I just quickly like to give a mention to a charitable cause.
For
Irish listeners. So tomorrow evening in Newbridge, Jim Bulger and Davy Russell have organised Hurling for Cancer. So they've both brought together two teams to take each other on in St. Conleth Park tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, and tickets will be available on the gate. So I'd just like to make people aware of that.
Far, far more sensible and a much more worthwhile thing to be
talking
about.
You know what else? I avoided you telling us what music you like, Maddie. Come on.
I'm never going to do that. Nope. I'm the one who has all the power sat in this chair.
Deary
so,
me.
On that bombshell, don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, please rate, review and subscribe to them wherever you're listening to us. We'll be back on Thursday to preview the weekend's action. And don't forget to tune into our golf and football postcasts, which are now weekly. Until next time, you don't have to listen to me telling you about what music I like. Enjoy your racing and goodbye.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.